We've all heard the cliches about art school. It's expensive, it's useless, its graduates are in debt with poor job prospects. But can the true value of art school really be measured? Well, joining me now is Carol Becker. She is the dean of Columbia University School of Arts, and I'm pleased to welcome her to our show today. And we want you to let us know what you think the value of art school is. Give us a call at 212-433-9692. You can leave a comment on our show page. You can tweet us. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And we're hoping to hear, especially from people in the arts, if you went to art school, did you find it valuable? If you didn't, do you think you missed something? Either way, we would like to hear from you. And Carol, it's a pleasure welcoming you to the show.
Thank you.
Tuition for all colleges and universities has been going up in recent years. Columbia is not an exception. Some people have argued that liberal arts schools are expensive without having any clear practical application. What about art schools?
Well, art schools are have been my home for a long time now. First, School of the Art Institute of Chicago, and now Columbia. I've written recently for the NEA blog about how much I really love art schools. I think that's probably why I'm on the show today. And what I've talked about is that art schools create a very unique environment, really cultivating the complexity of individuals, their dreams, their unconscious, their rational thought, and creating an environment that's really safe to explore all possibilities of human thinking and multiple forms. They're really interdisciplinary. They're really innovative. They're usually on the edge of ideas. The students are incredibly entrepreneurial. And students get to work with some of the most fascinating people around today, working in many of the forms that they're interested in.
So let's look at the other side of that. According to a new Wall Street Journal analysis of Department of Education data, people who go to schools that specialize in art, music, and design average over $20,000 in debt, and graduates are entering a field that doesn't necessarily pay very well. Doesn't that seem to reinforce the other stereotypes?
The stereotypes that art school is a foolish thing to do with one's life?
Well, I don't know if it's foolish, but many years ago, when I was young in art school in England, somebody with a little more experience said to me, you realize that this year 100,000 people are going to graduate from art school, and 100,000 did last year and the year before. Do you have a chance?
Well, I think you just had Karen Russell on your show.
She went to your school?
She's our recent alum. I don't think you planned that, but I was really thrilled to see her, and she's had enormous success coming out of school. She's very young. And this has happened for so many students of ours in so many disciplines. And I'm aware, and I can mention so many of them, Catherine Bigelow this year in writing, Tracy K. Smith won the Pulitzer last year for poetry, and I could go on in all the other disciplines. So there are always people who rise to the top and do really well. And, of course, there are people for whom this is a kind of training, a creative training, which I think really helps them in whatever they may choose to do. And there are students who go on from art school to become surgeons, plastic surgeons, regular surgeons, who go on to be radio announcers, who do all kinds, and radio commentators and writers working in journalism and so many other occupations. What's important is that fundamental pedagogical moment where they learn to take risk, they learn to really be creative, and hopefully we create a professional environment where they learn how to move out into the field.
And if they want to persist as artists, they often wind up working as art teachers, art handlers, carpenters, gallery assistants, other kinds of jobs. It's kind of like an actor working as a waiter.
They also invent businesses. You know, Brooklyn is just full right now. Brooklyn, where I grew up, where I feel so strongly about, is just full of wonderful new businesses that have been started by people who went to art school because artists are usually in touch with what's coming, what the rest of the world hasn't quite noticed yet they need. And that entrepreneurial spirit of the individual artist is really very, very good training for that. So all of the things that you mentioned, all the professions one would expect, add to that all the professions that we simply do not expect, that artists are able to imagine because they have cultivated this imagination. You fundamentally have to believe that cultivating imagination is not only a good thing for the individual, but for the whole society. You have to believe that, to believe in art schools.
Well, does an art degree help graduates get a show more easily than their counterparts who didn't go to an art school. Well, they could have studied art on another level, but didn't go to a...
We're talking about visual art right now?
Yeah, that's my background, but I think in those terms. But you're expanding.
And look how
this
successful you are. See,
yeah,
you
as an artist,
very,
right?
You found a very good way to take your interests and your passion for art and transfer it into something very important. So I think there are a lot of people out there like that. But let me answer your question. I think there are very few people right now in the visual art world. If you were to go to Chelsea, you wouldn't find that many people who have not gone through art school in some form, somewhere, in some part of the world. It's almost impossible to enter into what is a very professional world without understanding that world. And that's one thing you do get in art schools.
Also networking.
Yes, but also...
You meet other artists and you are in an environment where people are talking about the things that are going on and perhaps are making you aware of things that you wouldn't have been aware of, not just your teachers, but those people. And then when you leave school... they often become part of your professional and social network.
Well, in the last few years, I've noticed students leaving in clusters, which I think is wonderful. Like now, there are students from last year, 15 of them, who share studios together in Brooklyn. They went out as a group, which is a wonderful thing to do because then they really can help each other. But that I think students might even say to you that the most valuable people of their time in art school were the other students with whom they became friends, with whom they spoke, and who stayed friends, and also who stayed the critical voice for their work throughout their lives.
Let's take a call. Leslie from the Village. Hi, you're on the air. The East Village.
Hi, how are you, Leonard?
I'm well.
I called in. I have been out in the working field for a while. I'm basically an aging baby boomer. And I just wanted to mention that I went to school and majored in fine arts, basically painting and drawing. And when I graduated, I went to Parsons School of Design to hone in on illustration skills because I really enjoyed drawing. Where I eventually ended up was in the packaging design field. And I just wanted to mention that if I hadn't had that practice in terms of design and color theory and the basically just building, you know, hand-eye coordination skills, I would never have basically become the kind of designer I became and made the money I made without having all of that practice before getting out into the field. Because I sort of subscribe to Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours, and the more hours you put in, the better you come become within your craft.
You obviously agree.
Oh, I know. I mean, not everyone obviously who feels as strongly, and I think it's wonderful to hear this. But there is that problem solving training that is unique, I think, to art schools, and visual problem solving, which people often really don't understand and can't articulate, which becomes very useful in so many different professions. So I'm really glad to hear this, and I think that's right. I think that that underlying foundation and confidence to make decisions, to make creative decisions, to make choices, to follow ideas that someone else might not think are contemporary and then making them contemporary. These are the things I think. That kind of courage, I think, is part of what you get from that kind of pedagogy. So thank you for saying that.
Rebecca from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I have both a BFA, Bachelor of Fine Arts, and an MFA. And I am in Brooklyn and among the people that you were referring to about the artists who have been able to make a living. But, you know, in fact, I was a little bit annoyed that it was never addressed while I was in art school. And neither program I was in ever, there was never a class that said, you know, how are you going to make a living? Of all the people that I know that have gone through the art school training programs, and I've known a lot of them, very, very few actually make a living from their work, like selling through a gallery. They have to do something. Either they go into what I went into, which is decorative painting or scenic painting or that kind of thing. But I wonder about, is there like an illusion that, you know, all these kids that are going through getting these fine art degrees, I mean, if you have a practicality part of it, does it break the illusion that, you know, someday you're going to be an art star? Because so few people really are. Ever.
So, Rebecca, in the work that you're doing, do you feel that you've made a major sacrifice or you've been forced to compromise?
Well, you know, I think most artists feel like as long as they're producing something, that they're still okay. You know, there's sort of art with a capital A, and then there's, you know, these practical application arts. So I'm not, you know, I'm fine with it. I mean, I really struggle for my studio time. I get in there, you know, on the weekends and when I'm not doing the other work. So, you know, sort of, you know, you always hope that you're going to be, you know, an art star and just make a living and get all the support and love from people for your work. But in fact, not that, you know, so few actually make that happen.
Okay, well, let's ask Carol Becker. Does Rebecca have a valid beef? A lot of schools do not prepare you. They did not tell you how to put together a body of work. They did not tell you how to write a grant proposal or so many other things that are so important after you leave school.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that schools have an obligation to really help you to make that transition. But I also think you're right that it's complex, often for faculty, because in a sense they want, you know, we all want to keep that sense of potentiality open. At the same time, the faculty are living models often of that complexity. They're teaching, probably most of them would love to have much more time in their studio, that they've found a way to juggle and balance that they can't do their work full time. And I also think it's important. So I think programs really need to address this and have classes in professional development. I mean, we've really tried hard to do that. And I think we've succeeded in getting much better in breaking through that illusion and still maintaining the sense of potentiality that people can go on and do very well. And I think finally, there's also a societal issue, which we have to address. And that is the devaluation of the practice of making art in the society or writing or any of the other forms. And it's really important to say that because we can look at other models, and Europe is one of them, although they're having trouble now too maintaining the funding for the arts, which allows people to work full-time as artists. We don't value the production of art enough to allow that in the society. And I think you can't just blame art schools for that. I think that's a very big issue in American society, and sometime we can have that conversation. But I think you're absolutely right that there is an obligation on the part of schools to be much more realistic and help people make that transition to the next step.
Many people have said that it's a miracle that the United States has been so important in the arts, considering how little support artists get. You mentioned Europe. In many countries, the artists are given a certain stipend for a couple of years while they get themselves on their feet. We don't have anything like that. In fact, if anything, the minute money gets tight, governments cut back on support of the arts.
And also, there are so many amazing artists and very successful artists by art world terms who are teaching and who have to teach because they absolutely can't afford to live any other way. And in Europe, that is simply not the case. If you're a very successful artist, you do not teach. And if you teach, you're not there, because I know that about European art schools. But I think that the point is well made that we have to help our students make that transition. I think we're trying to take that very seriously. We're not the only school that recognizes that problem.
Now, a listener writes, and I'm not sure this isn't just a personal gripe. I had the misfortune of going to art school in the late 70s. Like so many others of my age, I had abstract expressionism forced down my throat. It surprises me because the late 70s abstract expressionism had already run its course. But this person writes, my teachers kept telling me I had to paint what was inside me. When I did, they told me it was wrong. I was able to overcome my art education. After years making a living in advertising, I've been making a good living as a painter for the last 18 years. In my encounter with art students today, I see young people who have been taught not to make art, but to talk about it. The work I see doesn't stand on its own, but needs a manifesto to explain it. And it seems that the main impetus is novelty, and yet I see very little original anyway, it goes on. I know he's seen people in their studios in Gowanus and is unimpressed. Or she.
Aren't there always people that look at contemporary art and think it's a failure compared to what was being made in the past? I mean, that's a historical problem of art making. And I think when things sift through historically, a lot of work that one looks at will not hold up over time. But there's so many amazing artists producing right now. But I do think there's a point that art schools became very theoretical, and it was difficult for people to figure out how to balance the discourse of art and the thinking about art with the actual making of art. And then another point that I think is also well taken in this comment, which is that often the faculty are very imposing of their own point of view, instead of really believing we are here to cultivate each person to be the most interesting artist that that person can be and the most unique artist, not to fit them into some box with which we're comfortable. But this is also true of art critics and people who review work who often can't, don't know how to review work that they haven't seen before. They don't know how to approach it. And they see that as a limitation in the work when, in fact, it's their own limitation. So I think there are many comments in that which are true. But these environments also have to teach people to stand up for themselves. At the very core, when you leave art school, it's you and yourself. And you have had to internalize somewhere in that educational process a kind of strength so that you can hold on to what you believe. Because there's nobody out there who can tell you what art is going to be in the future. Only the next generation of artists can tell us that. And they have to have a lot of confidence to do that. So I hope that all art schools can help to give that kind of confidence and not just beat students down, which does happen. It does happen.
But the word also goes out, and students talk about that. I know the best art teachers I had were the ones who didn't try to make me paint. I was a painter, like they did, but were just open to what I was trying to do and help me along. There are those teachers who develop little
cults.
Well,
there are both those kinds of teachers. There are the ones who – and actually European art schools are very much that way. Like you can tell who someone has been studying with. I think American art schools are a lot less that way. And the strength of American art making is the incredible diversity of the population of the United States and all of those ideas. There's no homogeneity in point of view in this country or in schools of art. And that, I think, is, to your point, Leonard, that it's been very – how have we succeeded the United States being so influential when we're so badly subsidized in the art world? I think it's because there's this incredible energy in this country to produce new ideas. It's what's always made this country interesting.
Has arts education changed over the years?
I think it's in my time, yes, it has.
Are teachers more sensitive to not ramming their ideas down?
I think there are always going to be those people, and there are always going to be people who are much more in tune with students. But I actually hear it less. So I think that the cult of the personality probably has diminished. And I think students come in, they certainly do to Columbia, they're a little older, they're a little bit more sophisticated, and they're not so susceptible as it was in the past, that they were, could have been in the past.
You're right about the relationship between technology and artists who have embraced these new technologies, like David Hockney's iPhone drawings. Are the students who are coming into Columbia open to all these new ideas?
You know, they're very savvy technologically, but it doesn't mean that their work reflects it. But they're using technology in the process. So the work, you may see very handmade things or paintings that are very painterly, but they may be trying ideas out on the computer. They certainly know how to move things around and use all the new technologies that exist. But I think artists really see technology as a tool. They're not wedded to it. You know, you can see students embroidering just as readily as, you know, working on their Macs. But they're using it all the way artists have always used tools. It used to be really in the old days that computer companies would give schools of art computers and say, what can you do with it? How far can you push it? They don't need to do that anymore. But in the
Because everybody's buying.
But in the old days, they did do that because they knew that artists could do something that maybe they hadn't thought of.
We've run out of time. Unfortunately, a lot of calls have come in. Most of the people want to talk about teaching art after they left art school.
Oh, I would love to do that sometime, talk about that.
But
we've run out of time.
But we will follow up on this. This is a really important subject, at least close to my heart. Carol Becker is professor and dean of the School of the Arts at Columbia University, author of several books. The most recent is Thinking in Place, Art, Action, and Cultural Production. It is published by Paradigm. Thank you so much for being on our show.
And thank you for having me.